And now, Matt Wright.
Good morning, good afternoon, or good evening, and welcome to the Vanguard. I am Matt Wright, and together, me and my friend Ben Weir are going to be traversing the muddied waters of freedom here for everybody in the Freedom Verse. Ben, how are you, man? This is the first time that we have actually gotten a chance to like speak to each other.
I am good. I'm doing well. I am just living the dream. I'm trying to rest up a little bit. I've had some bumps in the road lately, but I'm doing good. I'm trying to get back on my feet so I can help facilitate liberty and anarchy.
Yep. Excellent. Excellent. So before we get into the show and do all the stuff, like, tell us, you know, to be fair, at this point, you are probably much more well known than my audience, like than I am.
Because I don't know about that. I'm new to the scene, man. I knew who you were before you knew who I was.
Right, but more people know who you are now because I took like a year off, like trying to figure out my own shit. So
it is good
to be back, and it's good to be doing stuff again. But like, so tell us all about you. Like, I know what I have been able to like pick up from, you know, Twitter and stuff like that, but you know, I know that you're a musician. Obviously, you're into emo. We have very similar tastes. We like to cry when we listen to music.
Yep.
Yeah. There was a time period in our life where we probably listened to too much Dashboard.
Definitely. So my life's been crazy, man. I kind of like found anarchy when I was in my teens, and I learned about anarcho-capitalism in college. Been a musician almost all my life. I got my first bass guitar when I was 11. That's kind of what kicked this whole thing off. Started playing actual guitar in like 15, when I was like 14, 15, writing music when I was in the military for 2 years, wrote a bunch of songs there. And the second I got out, I started a band, a little pop punk band, which after about a year transitioned into more of an emo band. Right. You know, it was just kind of just how it was. Most of my songs are really depressing, so
well, yeah, it's an emo band.
Yeah, I mean I'm punk rock at heart, but I was going through like a lot of stuff that was just like really heavy, and it just, everything I wrote just ended up turning emo. And I spent like probably, honestly, like this was when I was like, I don't know, 22, I think, when that band started. And, you know, we were a band all the way until like 2020. So, And I'm 34 now. So, you know, it's been a adventure. I've done a lot of touring. I played Warped Tour in 2015. I've played with, like some big festivals with like Korn, Stone Sour, A Day to Remember, Beartooth, you know, like a lot of the bands I've always looked up to, I've had a chance to actually play with, sit down with, and share a backstage with. Even like Hawthorne Heights is they're some of my favorite people. Red Jumpsuit Apparatus. I've also been a libertarian for almost my entire adult life. I've voted libertarian every single election that I've been legally allowed to vote.
I'm close, man, but there's one in there that I didn't, and it was the first one.
Oh man, it wasn't John McCain, was it?
No, that was the first one I voted libertarian.
Okay, cool.
Yeah, no, so it was Bush. Yeah, I voted for Bush.
Oh wow. Okay, yes. Yeah, so I voted libertarian my whole life. I got more involved with politics. Like I've been kind of watching the LP for a long time. I didn't actually like get on any boards until I had lived in California. I think this was like 2018, 2019, maybe. COVID hit, and then it made me want to get really a lot more involved. And I mean, that's about the same time as my band was wrapping up. So I had to, I'm like pretty autistic, so I got to find something to fill my time. So, you know, it's been crazy, dude. I moved across the country yet again. Now I'm in New Hampshire. The last, national convention for the Libertarian Party, I started the emo caucus because I'm like, oh, there's some cool caucuses here. There's a professional wrestling caucus, the Waffle House caucus, but there's nowhere for the emos. So I had to do something kind of unique there. And And like we're pretty active in some of the chats that we have, to be honest with you. But I've got like some plans for it. The goal with the emo caucus is to basically be a liberty to music scene pipeline. We're
I like
trying to
it.
like bring the anti-authoritarians that are in the music scene into liberty, and also give liberty some better art and some better music to listen to. Because let's be real, there's a lot of libertarians out there with really bad taste in music. So.
And many of them would say the same thing about us.
I
Yeah, I
agree. Yeah, it's true.
like I grew up on like the classic rock and that kind of thing. And then like the early 2000s, I started getting into the emo. I started like emo hit and LimeWire was a thing, and I was just like, oh, I can just get all
Yep.
of this music for free. And
Yep.
so I started just
It's
going
funny you
through.
say that. I'm like the IP laws with music and copyright laws. I'm a pretty outspoken advocate against that.
Right.
Obviously, I think LimeWire actually helped music more than it hurt music,
I
and I have like a
agree.
lot of good arguments for that. Like the piracy laws really hurt the music scene. They hurt its production, and music like live music isn't as bumping as it used to be. I'm actually like writing a book called "Steal My Shit" that's about this exact subject. So.
Who is the guy that did what's the name of the guy that wrote Steal This Book?
Oh, I have no idea.
Abbie Hoffman. Abbie Hoffman, back in the 60s, wrote a book called Steal This Book. And
Interesting.
do you know who MC Lars is? The
Yeah, I've heard
rapper
that. Yeah,
out
I've
of
heard MC Lars.
Yeah, so okay, he's a rapper out, he's like a nerdcore rapper out of San
Okay.
Francisco area, the Bay Area. And he had a song called Steal This Song,
Oh,
or Download
nice.
This Song. And it was all about how the music industry was ruining music. And like we were trying to find, us as the listeners were trying to find a level playing field. So we were stealing the music because you'd been churning out crap for years.
Right. Yeah.
So yeah, he kind of went with that same thing. But yeah, steal this album, all the same kind of stuff. We got a question over on Rumble. Libertarian Goth wants to know if you've ever shared the stage with him.
I have not. No, they never,
No.
they didn't, they, I don't think that they were touring back when I was doing all my stuff, or I don't think they were doing festivals. I feel like they probably had. I think they had taken a hiatus from playing for a while. I think they only
They
very
could have
recently
been.
reunion like did
That
like a
could be.
reunion thing. But yeah, like that they weren't really active when I was doing my stuff, so.
Yeah. And like, so Taking Back Sunday was like the band that really got me into emo. Like the first time that I heard Cute Without Knee, I was just like, okay, this is my identity for the rest of my life now.
I covered that song one time, and I actually there's a recording around somewhere on the internet. I could find it probably, but
So, I actually found some of your old music and I was going to use that for the intro today as a joke and not
oh,
tell
nice.
you. But then I was like, I ran out of time. So,
Oh, geez.
but I'm super excited to have you here, man. I've been the last few times I've done this show and done like the news segment, not just an interview segment, it's just been me. So it's good to have somebody else here with me to do it. And, so I don't know how many of the shows that you have watched in the past.
I
But
mean,
pretty.
I remember the show well, like especially back when like there was a lot of campaigning and stuff going on,
Yeah.
and Spike was on the show, and I'm a big fan of Spike. I think he's a cool guy, and
Yeah,
yeah,
he's all
you're a
right.
cool guy too. I feel like we should have crossed paths by now if we haven't met before. Like, why not?
So, well, the reason behind that's actually pretty easy. I stopped doing Libertarian Party anything. I
Good for
still
you,
like,
man. It's
yeah.
hard. It's hard to break out of that unless
So
you're really
yeah,
just fed up.
I was the treasurer, I was the secretary of the treasurer and the vice chair of my affiliate here in Pinellas County. And after I did that for a while, and then I decided I needed to take a break, but I was still kind of helping out with the state if they needed it, and I was helping out just kind of on a separate level.
Yeah.
But then during the 2016 campaign, I was helping out with Gary Johnson and whatever they needed. And then shortly after that, I got into an argument with people at the local affiliate. And I said, all right, I'm not going to help y'all out anymore. And I started doing the podcast pretty much regularly. And
Yep.
then I realized that I was able to reach more people doing this than I could doing, the stuff that they were doing locally. The local
I mean,
chapter is doing a
it's
lot of great
true.
stuff. Yeah,
Dude, we get
massively.
stuck in these echo chambers so easily. Like, I feel like I get stuck in echo chambers all the time, and I do my best to break out of that. But, like, it is very true. Art, music, alternative media, this reaches so much more people than anything that most libertarian affiliates will ever do.
Ever do.
It's just the truth. And, like, there's a lot of activism that needs done outside of the LP too. Not saying that it shouldn't be done inside of the LP. I'm just saying that, like, there's people need to find their niche and what they're good at. And if there's something that you're better at, that you can go facilitate liberty and make a difference outside of the party, you should do it. Because
Absolutely.
let's face it, we are behind the curve by miles. So,
By a lot of miles. Yeah, no, it's and then once like Spike got nominated to be the VP, and it was like I didn't ever want this to become a Libertarian Party podcast. So I was just kind of like I kind of went extra hard against anything libertarian, me doing anything libertarian, because I didn't want people to think that we were shills for the party that I think
Sure. I
is
get that. I'm trying to do
pointless.
something different with my podcast too, 'cause like I feel like I'm trying to bring in some musicians, get
Yeah.
people that are not in the party at all. I'd like to actually focus more on art, culture, and the alternative stuff there than I do really with the party. But the truth is, like, if I can still have some of that in there and try to mix the two ideas just a little bit, just enough, not too much, that I think that like the two ideas aren't drastically different. Like, we want to bring that punk rock mentality into the Libertarian Party because that's the only way anything is going to get accomplished
It's true.
in real life if the Libertarian Party becomes a little bit more punk rock. So right
Yeah,
now they're not.
absolutely.
So
Yeah, and that's so I've been reaching out to a bunch of comedians that like I've been getting really big into stand up. Not that I can try it because I'm
nice.
not that funny, but I've been reaching out to comedians, and I've had one on. He's a Canadian comedian. His name's Tyler Morrison. He's out of just outside of Toronto. He's been on once before. He's coming on again next week. He's not a libertarian. He's Canadian. But, being able to get his viewpoint, and then I want to get other people there's a comedian I have been talking to, and I'm trying to get him to come on. And he says that he's a libertarian, and I kind of want to test him on that, like on the show, to be like, okay, how libertarian are you? Let's find
Give them the
out.
litmus test
Right. Be
that
like,
everyone has to go through.
right. But another one that I just started reaching out to, I was at one of his shows a few weeks ago, and he's like, yeah, I'm a libertarian. But then he said he was going to vote for Trump. And I'm like, oh, okay, well, I want to bring you on to talk about, like, but I
Yeah.
want to be able to, but comedians, they don't care what they say. And I think
No.
that as people who are trying to send a message and spread a message, we need to be more on that side of it, of the you can't apologize when you say something and be like, oh, I'm sorry I offended you. We have to be able to sit there and say, okay, no, this is what we believe. We do not apologize for it. We're not going to walk it back, and we're not going to water it down for you. So
Yeah.
I think it kind of
Yeah,
goes
I
hand in hand with the punk rock thing, like the comedians who can't be afraid of what they're saying, the punk rock who they've never cared what people thought,
Right.
and
I
it's
mean, how many of our ideas are attractive to normies? Because we get so stuck and we like don't realize that like we are weird.
We're
Like
weird.
we are very
We're
strange.
weird.
Yeah. So like we need to like find a gap there. And to me, I think art is the gap. I think
I
art is a
agree.
great gap in mar in music. So that this is my niche. This is what I've done my whole life. This is what I'm good at. So this is what I'm trying to do. I don't want this to ever turn into a chore or an obligation. I'm doing this for fun because it's fun and because I love talking to people about this stuff. You know what I mean? So like I think the more serious I would get with it if I turned it into like a real libertarian podcast, if there is a real libertarian podcast, which is funny because there is one named Real Libertarian Podcast. My
There
good
is.
friends have that. Yeah.
Well, isn't it called Not a Real Libertarian
Not a real
Podcast?
libertarian podcast. Yeah, you're right. So it's a little different. I don't know. But trying to avoid that at all costs is
What's
important to
fun
me.
What's funny is Chris Darnell and I went to the same high school.
Oh, wow. No way.
Yeah, we were about 15 years apart, but we went to the same high school.
That's so crazy. Yeah, I think actually, I feel like He still lives in Tennessee, I think,
He
actually.
does.
He might have
But
just moved
so,
back up there or something like that.
yeah, so I know he's, yeah, he just moved back up to Tennessee because he was living down here in Florida for a little bit. But he and I both went to a high school in Manassas, Virginia called Osborne High School.
So it wasn't
And
even in Tennessee.
it
You guys
wasn't
were
even in
in,
Tennessee.
dude, that's so crazy.
Yeah.
You know, oh man, like I've got so many stories like that that just like tells you that like, you know, like when you meet people like that, they're just supposed to be in your life. You know what I
Yeah,
mean?
we were on Clubhouse back. I don't even know if people still do Clubhouse, but we were on Clubhouse and he said the name of his high school and I was like, shut the fuck up. You went to Osborne? And he was like, yeah, it's like I went to Osborne. And he goes, oh, do you remember so and so? I was like, no, because probably many years apart. But yeah. So real quick, let's pay some bills. I gotta play this Mudwater ad for about a minute and then we will be right back.
This episode is brought to you by Mudwater. Mudwater is a coffee alternative, as well as the most aptly named sponsor for this show ever, with one seventh of the caffeine as a regular cup of coffee. It's made with masala chai, cacao, mushrooms, turmeric, sea salt, cinnamon, and that is it. And I know what you're thinking, Matt. You are somebody who loves caffeine. Why would you be hawking for a company that is advertising less caffeine? And that's because it worked. It's true. I love caffeine. I used to drink two energy drinks a day, and now I might have one a week, all thanks to Mudwater. If you or someone you love might want to make the switch to Mudwater, all you have to do is head on over to muddiedwatersoffreedom.com/mud to make the switch today.
That's right. If you want to taste something that tastes like you're licking the bottom of a hobo's foot, let's make the switch today. It's so gross. It is so disgusting. Thank you for being a sponsor, Mudwater. You taste terrible, though. So, Haiti, if anybody hasn't been paying attention to what's been going on in Haiti, Haiti is in utter chaos right now. Haiti is, sorry, the libertarian goth just said the only real libertarian was inside of us the whole time, which that's true. It's the only place it really ever is. Haiti
Like
is an
Jesus.
utter, like Jesus, like Christmas, how Christmas resides in all of us. That's where the real
It's the
libertarian
spirit.
is. It's the
It's the
spirit.
spirit.
It's
The
the
spirit of
spirit.
liberty.
It's the spirit of freedom coming from within. So the U.S. announced yesterday that troops had been evacuated from America from the troops had evacuated Americans from the U.S. embassy, and that Prime Minister Ariel Henry has been run out of the country and is currently seeking asylum in Puerto Rico. News has changed since I wrote these notes, and he has now resigned as the Prime Minister, and he is backing that they have a governmental meeting in order to figure out the new form of government. I think it might be a little past this point. The most powerful man in Haiti right now is a man known as Jimmy Cherizier.
Barbecue.
Barbecue. Jimmy Barbecue Cherizier. He sounds like a dude that would own a barbecue restaurant in New
He
Orleans.
should be, that's exactly what I was gonna say, dude. Like, this is like the dude should definitely you know, I don't know. He shouldn't start any restaurants because I don't think anyone wants to eat what he's putting down. But you know, like NOLA, the dude Jimmy Barbecue, that just sounds
Even
fantastic.
yeah, Jimmy Barbecue Cherizier.
Wild.
He is the leader of the G9 and Family Gang, which also sounds like a 1970s like disco group. G9
Yeah.
and Family Gang. And he goes by the nickname Barbecue. And do you know why he's nicknamed Barbecue?
I mean, I know what he does to people, but I don't think that's probably why he's nicknamed Barbecue.
So there's two different theories on why he's nicknamed Barbecue. He says it's because his mom used to have she used to sell chicken that she would barbecue and he would be there when he was a little kid, and so people started calling him Barbecue. People who have known him as an adult say that it's because he likes to torch neighborhoods to get people into compliance.
Yeah. Yeah. And not the people, and then eat their legs. Like, I don't know if you've seen any of the cringy videos on Twitter coming up, dude, but it's crazy.
It's crazy. It is so crazy.
I guess some of the videos from a couple of years ago that are going around, but like, this is still very much so recent, relevant news. This is happening now. And to be honest with you, this is like a normal thing. There's a lot of like brutal gangs out there that will like go out there and they're cannibalistic. They'll eat people to show dominance and show this is their territory. And that scares the shit out of people. That scares the shit out of me. And I'm not even close to freaking Haiti.
You know, one of the things that has recently come out is like now that the Biden administration, and we'll kind of get into the Biden administration stuff about, especially on immigration a little bit later on, but they're saying that they're expecting a bunch of people from Haiti to come over seeking asylum. And being where Haiti is in relation to Florida, I'm like, look, we've already had zombie cannibal people running through Florida for quite some time, thanks to bath salts.
Do you guys
not
remember Tide Pods and bath salts? What bath salts did to people a couple years ago? Come on, we've already had the zombies.
Now you're trying to put it in where it's just, we're just going to put them right in, no bath salts necessary. these are grown cannibals. You're just going to bring them right on in. Libertarian God says, I know they speak French in Haiti, but eating a Haitian's leg isn't the same as eating frog legs. I hope he knows that.
That's so true.
When my favorite thing about barbecue is that he used to be a cop, which if that doesn't
so I hate him even more now.
If that doesn't show you where, you know, power and corruption stems from.
I mean, it just makes complete sense.
The difference between Haitian cops and American cops is he actually got fired from the force in 2018 when he had alleged ties to a number of horrific crimes, including the slaughter in the Las Salines slums, where 71 people were killed, 7 women were raped, and 400 homes were burned down, according to official reports.
Oh, holy crap. So he just jumped from one gang to the next gang.
He was just like, okay, well, I'm just going to do the same thing.
And he's I'm going to just be worse.
Right, because now I don't have anybody holding me back. So when they had their internal investigation in the Haitian police, they didn't find any, they found wrongdoing. They weren't like, oh, nothing bad happened here. We had so no wild. Wrongdoing.
Oh, like Waco.
Right.
But like, it sounds significantly like worse than Waco, to be honest with you. It sounds just horrible, but yeah, that's bad.
Yeah. So 71 people killed, 7 women raped, legitimately, I think the only number that's better is 400 homes were burned down. And I think in Waco, it wasn't 400. Everything else sounds just as bad.
Yeah, that's pretty rough. That's a pretty bad time that they are having down there. Frickin' barbecue is laying down the law for his new gang.
He is laying down the law. And right now, being the most powerful person in the country of Haiti, he's not going to give up that power anytime soon.
No, so, and I make jokes about it, but like I'm serious. This dude's disgusting. Like, I can't believe this stuff's going on right now, because like the videos are horrible, dude. Like I'm not one to just like buy into everything, but like I've known that this kind of stuff happens a lot and regularly by gangs. But this dude, I mean, this isn't like another Kony 2012. Do you remember Kony 2012?
I do remember Kony 2012.
Everyone was freaking out because he had like 12 child soldiers. And then it turns out he was like basically non-existent and a non-threat to the world. But you know, this guy's like legitimately, you know, like Haiti's not a huge country. Like, it's not huge. To have this guy be the most powerful man in Haiti right now is wild.
How big is Haiti? What do we think in comparison?
I mean, if I'm comparing to a state, I mean, it's, I don't know, maybe roughly a quarter the size of Ohio, I would say.
That is probably accurate. Wow. Okay. No, that is tiny. It's tiny,
it's,
tiny.
It's small. It might even be, yeah, it might even be smaller than a quarter of Ohio. It might be.
Yeah.
But it's really, really small.
Okay, so it's roughly, okay, so it's, yeah, probably about a third or a half of Ohio. Yeah, that's actually pretty, you were pretty spot on that. It's probably about a quarter of the size of Ohio.
He basically pulled like a Captain Phillips where the pirates jump on the ship. He's like, look at me. I'm the captain now.
I am the captain now. I am the captain now. Yeah.
But except he barbecues people and his soldiers eat their legs off.
That's
nasty.
So Haiti's government obviously declared a state of emergency. This was even before Ariel Henry decided that he was just out. He was, I'm done. I'm over. You guys figure it out. I'm going to hang out here in Puerto Rico. And hopefully the U.S. just gives me asylum and I can just stay here forever. But videos and images on social media have shed light on how Port-au-Prince has developed into like just a war-torn city on the edge. And one such viral video from the Associated Press shows dozens of civilians running for their lives, screaming and ducking ducking their heads as gunshots are heard. And even with all of that, still not as harrowing as this retelling of the worst moment in all of history.
When an angry, violent mob staged an insurrection on January 6th and desecrated our capital, the temple of our democracy, it was not just an attack on the building, it was an attack on our republic itself. We are here today to better understand what was known in advance, what steps were taken to secure the capital, and what occurred that day, because we want to ensure that nothing like this happens again.
I received chemical burns to my face that still have not healed to this day. I witnessed officers being knocked to the ground and hit with various objects that were thrown by rioters. Of the multitude of events I've worked in my nearly 19-year career in the department, this was by far the worst of the worst. We could have had 10 times the amount of...
Worst of the worst.
Yeah. I will say this. Those people should all be scared to leave their houses. I'm just being honest. Like, this isn't like a new thought, but like those people are horrible people. And the audacity that they have recalling like J6 these are like actual criminals. Like, we have barbecues all over the place. They're just not eating people's legs, man. They're eating our souls and drowning us in Fed money that's right. Inflating everything, inflating the economy.
I was like reading everything. I was reading all the news and I was watching the videos. And the only thing I could think of was they were saying January 6th was the worst thing that has happened ever. And
was that barbecue in the video at the end there?
No.
Like with the wig on? No.
Yeah. my least favorite thing of this entire Haiti chaos that's happening is people on both sides of the aisle are saying that Haiti is descending into anarchy, which I love them having you on for this because I'm like,
that's great. Yeah.
That's not anarchy.
No, but I agree with you. I've been an anarchist since I was young. You know, like I always tell people, like, anarchy looks a hell of a lot more like homesteading than it does like Chaz in Seattle. Yeah. And I also remind people that anarchists aren't utopian, but we also like, you know, it's not a location, it's a relationship. This is like something, you know, that Michael Malice says a lot. We have anarchist relationships all around us and we get, for the most part, we get along just fine with most of the relationships that we bring about in our lives. And, you know, what we want is a peaceful society with perfect, like with good anarchist relationships with everybody. It doesn't necessarily have to be like anarchy everywhere to work. Like, this is just like, we can live as anarchists in modern society, nonviolently, peacefully, and, blaspheming the name of anarchy definitely gets me triggered every time.
There's a podcast I listen to that I won't promote right now, but like he's been saying it so often and I'm like, man, you know that this is not what anarchy, I know you know this is not what anarchy is, but you're pushing it anyway. And I don't understand why. But You know, that's how like people see anarchy as a certain thing. And that is one of the reasons that your show, my show, so many other people's shows are doing a good job, because we are helping redefine that for people. And I think that's what's true. Yeah.
Let them know we're not all trying to like burn cop cars. I mean,
right.
We might not cry too hard if a cop car is getting burned, but like, we're not
we may not stop it.
Those are fascists and socialists that are just like trying to enforce their own agendas through political means, which is the exact opposite of anarchy.
Exactly. And that's one thing that people don't understand. The people that are like, oh, they're anarchists. No, they're not. They're fascists. They want you to do what they want you to conform to what they believe. I want you to continue to live the life that you want to live. As long as I can live the life that I want to live, as long as I'm not harming you.
Turns out it's really simple. Don't hurt people. Don't take their stuff. It pretty much nails it on the head.
That's what pretty we much want. It. That is pretty much it. So that wasn't last night. That was two nights ago. The Oscars happened. I wrote these yesterday and I wasn't thinking in the I wasn't thinking in the fourth dimension. Two nights ago, the Oscars happened, and I was really hoping for some sort of massive groundswell of something happening at the Oscars. But this year's Oscars, not much. But there were protesters that caused the Oscars to be delayed. And the attendees and some of the nominees were forced to walk to Hollywood's biggest event. Protesters were seen holding signs saying the Oscars sponsored by baby killers and Hollywood silence is violence.
But they're not talking about abortion, right?
No.
That would make too much sense. Anyways. Sorry.
No, you're good, bud.
But that's so funny. Did you... It's like
that was,
it's
great.
Sorry. I'm kind of unhinged a little bit.
No, that's fine. Perfect. That's what we need. The protest was organized by a coalition of artists and film workers in collaboration with Writers Against the War on Gaza LA, Film Workers for Palestine, and SAG-AFTRA members for Ceasefire and other groups, or as I called them, people who were not nominated.
Oh, that's so funny. That's hilarious. Yeah. Did you see like the video or the picture going around with John Cena like butt naked on stage holding like
I watched him do that live and I was just like, so I like, and I kind of got it because like 50 years ago, I don't remember who the host was, somebody streaked at the Oscars, and it was the most scandalous thing to happen at the Oscars until Will Smith did what he did.
Was this before Janet Jackson's boob came out at the Super Bowl?
Oh, yeah. Yeah, yeah. by like 20-something years.
Oh, okay. All right.
But yeah, so some dude streaked, and it was a photographer, and the photographer did it in order to get notoriety, and it worked, and the photographer ended up becoming a very famous photographer. But
funny how that works.
Yeah, weird, huh? So strange. But so they were doing it, like they did like this fake joke, which you knew John Cena wasn't actually going to do it, and then he came out and presented costumes pretending to be naked, even though he wasn't. And
right.
And the entire thing was stupid. Like the only thing in the two parts of the Oscars. Cause like, so I used to work at video stores. I don't know if you know this. I used to work at video stores.
I used to work at Blockbuster.
Me too. Nice. That's an old sentence.
That's funny. Half the people won't know what the fuck we're talking about.
Nope. I still have my number memorized, my employee number. So if
no Blockbuster, way.
I could go, 292-109-00019. I could go to Blockbuster in Bend, Oregon and be like, yeah, I've got my number memorized, and my account would still be active.
That's hilarious. Wow.
So like there was a moment at the beginning when Jimmy Kimmel, who when he was on The Man Show and when Ben Stein's Money, he was hilarious. And then he just became the worst person on television.
Yeah.
And he took Howard Stern with him somehow. But he was talking about Robert Downey Jr. And he was like, some people, Robert Downey Jr. have said that this is the highest moment of his career. And I have to think it's probably not the highest moment of his career, like pointing to his nose. Yeah.
I've seen Tropic Thunder, man.
Right.
I don't know how many drugs you had to do to get through that stuff.
So he was actually sober for that.
Oh, I didn't even know that. Wow.
Yeah. Okay. So Robert Downey Jr. back, he was addicted to drugs at the age of 8 because his dad was giving them to him. And back in the early 90s, 94, 1994, I think, he got arrested for drug possession and he spent a year in prison.
Jeez. Like, that's crazy.
So he's like super sober now. Like he lives a super sober. He's a pescatarian. He doesn't drink. He doesn't do drugs. Nothing. Like he lives.
Yeah, good for him.
Yeah. And like Jimmy Kimmel was like bringing up that. And like, it was such an awkward moment because Robert Downey Jr. was like, yeah, move on. And Jimmy Kimmel just kept pushing it.
Oh,
it was
God,
the
dude.
Most awkward thing. I know, massive dick. And I'm like, wow. I remember when you used to be funny. And then
they should have just had Sydney Sweeney go up there and host instead. Everyone's talking about her.
I will say John Mulaney, if you're a fan of John Mulaney, stand-up comedian.
I'm not familiar. No, okay. I wouldn't say.
He's hilarious. He's got 3 or 4 specials out there, all pretty good. But he came out and he presented an award for sound. And he was like, without great sound, we wouldn't have great lines like, you know, we're going to need a bigger boat or, you know, this or this. And then he goes into a deep dive on the plot of Field of Dreams. Mm. And he explains Field of Dreams in depth. And he goes, we should be giving Field of Dreams the best picture. And then that was it. And then he just went right in. Like, it was hilarious the way he did it. And if I believe that he's going to be hosting next year.
That would be awesome.
I think
we need something different.
definitely need something different. But yeah, check out John Mulaney. He's funny. He is funny, and he also deals with addiction problems. So, you know, I'm a huge fan of him. So there was that, and then there was one other moment at the end where Jimmy Kimmel was trying to make a joke about Trump that felt completely flat, saying, aren't you up past your jail time or something? But outside of that, none of the actors really did anything that they were saying, okay, we're being overly political or whatever. It was the most mundane Oscars I have ever seen, so much so that they had to kill time at the end.
Wow.
Yeah.
That's wild, dude. That is wild.
But yeah, protesters held it all up because, you know, you made the much better joke than I could have possibly hoped to make on that one.
The Oscars sponsored by baby killers. You mean abortion?
You mean abortion? You mean Planned Parenthood?
You're not wrong.
So the Oscars had their biggest event of the year, and Joe Biden has his biggest event of the year, and he stepped in during the State of the Union. And he stepped in it during the State of the Union when Marjorie Taylor Greene goaded him into talking about Lakin Riley.
Lincoln Riley, an innocent young woman who was killed by an illegal. That's right. But how many of the thousands of people being killed by illegals?
And I love how he phrased that statement for so many different reasons. He pissed off the right because he said her name wrong. And he said Lincoln Riley. Yeah.
Lincoln Riley, right.
Right. And then he pissed off the left because he said
illegal.
And then he pissed off so many other people because he goes, think about the number of people, the thousands of people who are killed by legals. Okay.
Yeah. Yeah.
But the people on the left, came out in swarms, in droves, all over Twitter and the rest of the internet, talking about how No human is illegal. So Congressman Chuy Garcia said, as a proud immigrant, I'm extremely disappointed to hear President Biden use the word illegal. Alan Orr Jr. Esquire says, no human is illegal. We put on a shirt, language matters, but so does intent. Somewhere in Atlanta says, killed by an illegal, no human is illegal. Ilhan Omar says, no human being is illegal. And the rhetoric President Biden used today was dangerous. I did not pay attention when I was making this. Is dangerous, and we shouldn't be using the language of Donald Trump by U.S. Rep. Joaquin Castro. And even Nancy Pelosi said he shouldn't have said illegal. He should have said undocumented.
Can we just go back to calling them aliens, and we can just tell everyone we're getting invaded by aliens?
Right. Back in 21, they literally changed it in the State Department's verbiage, and they don't call people aliens because they say that's dehumanizing.
Well, maybe it's because they're trying to like keep the definition of the word pure. So when we actually start interacting with aliens and they drop the bomb on us that they've been talking all along, that it's not going to be as confusing for people.
That's actually not a bad theory, but it's something. So years ago, and you're 34, I'm a little older.
You're like, young enough to know who Mayday Parade is. So
I am young enough to know who Mayday Parade is. But years ago, like illegal that's just the term that we used. I remember when undocumented first starting come into like the stratosphere of people. The first place I heard it was on Law and Order SVU, actually, because I didn't know what it, I was like, the fuck is an undocumented? Because they said an undocumented citizen. And I was like, what's an undocumented citizen? Like, I had to think about it. It's an illegal alien. But it is something that you see a lot. So like with unhoused and homeless, they're trying to change the narrative from it. Homeless has that negative connotation. Unhoused just means you don't have a house right now. Homeless means you don't have a home right now, but for some reason they think that it has like this negative connotation. And then with illegal, I totally lost where I was in the notes, illegal versus undocumented, weapons of war, assault weapons, however you want to say it, versus rifle, handgun. One of the big ones that you're seeing now, especially on TikTok and things like that, pedo versus map, or pedos versus maps. And then, pro-choice versus murder. They have all of the different, there are so many times that we are looking at the people from the left and the right, they both do this, where they try to change the narrative by changing the verbiage.
But that's, this is like a great point, too. I'm reading through, once again, I'm reading through The Machiavellians, Defenders of Freedom. Not sure if you've read that book, but it's one of the best books I've ever read. And it's probably going to be my favorite book after I'm reading it again. But really, like, it's just such an illusion of choice that they give you. Like, they're instead of just like looking past it, like this is the only thing that's being presented in front of you. So everything is directed towards the state for your answers anyway, automatically. Like they're defining everything on both sides of the table. And we just like let it happen. It's just crazy that like this has been happening since the dawning of time. Machiavelli is like from like, I think the 14th century, 15th century. Rome was nothing new in ancient Rome. You know what I mean? They've defined things however they want. They, religions have done this throughout history. Like, it's actually a really good manipulation tactic. And it's to just say, these are the options. And, and unfortunately there's too many people that just like buy right into it. And that's why we're stuck with the two-party system.
It is why we're stuck with the two-party system.
And to be honest, even if we had a three-party system, even if it was a three-party, then you only have three choices and you're stuck in the same position.
Yeah, like for years, I've believed that instead of having a party system, people should run. People should run. There shouldn't be parties. And you just run and you pitch your ideas, but there's not a party. Like you're just like, okay, this is what I believe. This is what I would do. And it's not you're on team blue, you're on team red, they're on team gold, whatever. You know, just people run and you just vote for them. You don't need everything what is that called? Not unaffiliated.
I understand, and like I feel like that would be great if like gangs didn't exist all over the world, and like people didn't just like have a natural tendency, I guess, kind of to flock towards gangs. And that's what they are. The right and the left, all the political parties, they're just big gangs, and they control things. You know, we got barbecue over there, and then we got Nancy Pelosi over there right beside.
Right.
This is a losing of choice, and like it's really hard to escape that thought and to get past it. And I don't know. We get lost in the sauce too much.
that's absolutely true. But it's weird. Like, so it's one of the things I've always found interesting, because growing up it was global warming and then it changed to climate change. Mm-hmm. And if you believe whoever directed that movie Veep, it's because of Republicans, even though that made no sense. And I'm like, that's not why we changed that. You're idiots. They try to change your personal opinion and the way that you will view things through the language of today. And that's why especially with like assault style weapon, it used to be assault rifle, and then now it's assault style weapon. And like, they don't even say, you know, semi-automatic weapons anymore. Like even a semi-automatic handgun, which is like 99% of them.
Yes. Right.
Probably not 99, but you know, it's high.
It's high. I mean, yeah. It is. And I agree. I mean, I'm a gun guy, you know that. I'm Second Amendment advocate. Like AR is, how many times do people say it stands for assault rifle too? Like when it's on the light rifle, like it's crazy. They just be throwing out words these days.
They just throw them out. They just toss them out there, and they do it in order to try to change the narrative and try to shape the way that all of us kind of view things. And it, you know, for better or worse, it works. And that's one of the things that everybody needs to be way more aware of. Because if you, I don't know your stance on immigration. I'm more of a Ellis Island kind of person. Sign the guest book, you know, get
it's better than what we have.
Yeah, get tested for diseases. Background check, let them in. Like, I don't care after that. I also don't want us to have a welfare state, so I'd rather get rid of the welfare state before we do that.
Yeah.
But if you as an individual are more upset that somebody who has murdered somebody is being referred to as an illegal rather than the fact that they murdered somebody, your issue isn't with the crime. Your issue is with the word.
Yeah.
And if you're mad about the words that are being used as opposed to the crimes, that is more thought crime than it is actual crime. And that is where, like, that is where I fear, like, so much of it will go.
Yeah. Which we've seen. I mean, like, thought crime has been a thing. It's been, like, gotten crazy over the last couple of years. Like, you're not allowed to think or say things that you used to be allowed to say. Even in Florida, they're passing laws, right, where you can't say certain things about the Jays, I guess. Like, I don't know. I live in New Hampshire and I don't talk about the Jays, so it doesn't affect me, but it's still like, you know what I mean? Like it's not like DeSantis signed off on this. So, I mean, it has to have some kind of traction. Like, they're still trying to monitor what people say, right, left. They're both doing the same stuff.
Yeah. And I'm going to talk about this next week with Tyler Morrison from Canada, because, you know, that's his prime minister. But I was reading something earlier. It was actually on Not the Bee, where Justin Trudeau, Justin Blackface Trudeau, he wants to put in lifetime prison sentences for thought crimes in some new bill.
And so wild, dude. I mean, it is just, but that's insane. What's crazy is that it's possible that it could happen here because of like the NDAA Act or whatever it was that Obama passed in 2011 that was just renewed, where they can hold you indefinitely for any reason and not even have to give you a trial. Like, they can just call you a thought terrorist and they can take you.
Yeah.
Like,
and so is, like, the
not unheard of.
And so the NDAA was initially passed in 2001. It was after September 11th.
Yeah, it was like, it was right after there. But then he did something but weird then with he, it.
Yeah, yeah, and then and like that was where you could you could hold people indefinitely that were on the terrorist watch list. He expanded it in 11. Yeah. So it's like, right. It's just like, it's just always been an expansion and an expansion. And if you get to the point where you get thought terrorism in there, you have those people now having to worry about, okay, we don't like what Matt and Ben are saying on the internet. Let's go throw them in Guantanamo. And as much as
could
I
you
want
imagine
to
if that
Cuba,
was a thing before COVID hit and
I would have never thought that would happen.
That like, I'm just saying, but like, if that like was a thing before COVID though, like if they had these policies in place before then, all the people who are outspoken against the government mandating things, or even just the lockdowns, it doesn't even have to be about the actual Fauci algae. I mean, just the lockdown itself. You speak out against the lockdowns and they can just take you away. They put you in the cattle guards and take you away, dude. So
it's nuts. It is great. Like, so I got kicked off Facebook. My initial account got nuked. I still don't know why. It was the account that I had for since like 2003.
Oh, geez.
Yes. Yeah,
so I had one nuked too. And it's because I posted too many guns, but
I have no idea why. I have no clue. They wouldn't tell me why. It was just gone. And I was like, and it was like right when Muddied Waters started like picking up, and then like we were getting,
dang.
Yeah. And I was just like,
it sucks.
This is just, it's not fair. You know, my Instagram, one of my Instagrams went away, and it's like, it's 100% because of belief. And I understand that. I know that. And, you know, Section 230 freeze company, like I get there's different arguments to be had on that. But when they started doing that at the question of the government, they were acting as an arm of the government. And therefore, I saw like everything that they've done, I have seen as a First Amendment violation. And people can say private company all they want, but
I mean, it's easier to just call it what it is, which is an amendment violation.
It's amendment violation.
Is. Yeah. Right.
So, but yeah, like the moment that they like, they're already going after journalists. The Biden administration has been going after journalists recently. And I don't like want to say, oh, this won't happen under Trump. It'll absolutely happen under Trump.
Don't
want anybody to get me wrong here. I'm not like, we need to get rid of Biden so we can get Trump. No, it's not what I'm saying, even a little bit. What I'm saying is Trump is going to do it as well. But Biden is like ramping it up because he thinks that's what Trump would do. So they're doing it. And so Trump's going to say, well, the last guy did it. So now I have to do it.
Right.
Yeah. And this is going to get worse and worse and worse.
Yeah. They got to go bigger and harder than the last guy. That's exactly just how it is.
So speaking of, to close it out, and we'll kind of rush through this one. I don't know. Have you been paying attention to this story at all? Can you see this story?
The union.
Yeah.
Stuff.
Yeah. I wasn't sure if it updated for you when I did it yesterday. Have you been paying attention to the story at all? This is wild. This is
kind of, I'm actually like, I can't say that I have, no.
All right. So there is a union representing New York City firefighters that is raising concerns about possible disciplinary actions against its members after Attorney General Letitia James was booed and a pro-Donald Trump chant broke out during a fire department ceremony last week. This goes along with that thought crime thing. Obviously, like Letitia James, as we all know, recently won a bogus $355 million penalty against Trump for fraud. I've worked in real estate. What he did wasn't fraud. The bank was paid back. There was no victim. That was just the biggest bunch of crap that they could possibly try to pull on him. And I hate doing these stories because I'm like, I don't like Trump. Don't accuse me of that. But at the same time, you're making me do
this.
They're
on a witch hunt, though.
They are. So she recently won that $355 million penalty against Trump. She was leading a department promotion ceremony on Thursday when people in the audience, filled with firefighters, started booing her. And it was at The event was being held at the Christian Cultural Center, which is this very popular church in, I believe, Brooklyn. And she says, come on, we're in a house of God, to which they started chanting Trump's name. And she responded with, simmer down. Which I'm certain there's a joke there with barbecue.
Yeah.
At a firefighter's.
Yeah, that's ridiculous though. Like, because this is like, I'm just so confused about this whole thing right now.
Right.
So, like, why is Attorney General Letitia James in a house of God to begin with? Like, there's something there too. Like, are we holding like these kind of ceremonies in churches because that's the only place they can? Like, I'm a Christian, but I'm just at the same time, like if they're holding like a, this is crazy to me. Union's obviously doing it, but.
Right. So apparently this church, the Christian Cultural Center, has been used by the fire department many times in the past. And they've had like a good, they've had a good partnership because they will allow them to use, I'm assuming it's a large venue and they'll allow them to use it. For probably little money, I don't know. They're already not paying taxes, so I don't really know what other incentives they're getting, but I'm certain there's something in it for them. So a department memo went out after the fire department booed down the Attorney General of New York. And it says, the memo stated, when you're not on duty, feel however you want about politicians. Vote, protest, that's your right. But don't do it on the job's time, on other members' time, or on their family's time. Do it on your own time. To which I would say, no, I'm going to do it whenever I want.
Yeah. I mean, in trying to tell, like let's can we just be honest here that there is a split and a difference in opinion, even amongst like firefighters and other like law enforcement agencies.
Yeah.
Like firefighters are usually very independent individuals, typically right leaning also, just like throwing that out there. They do not take shit. They take a lot of shit on their job as it is. They have a very difficult job. And if there was any like group of people that was publicly funded that doesn't like to be told what to do, pretty sure it's the fire department.
It's the fire department. And that's... And even as an anarchist, like the fire department's one, I'm going, I get it.
Yeah.
That's what I'm like, man, we can concede a little here. I'm not willing to argue fire department with you right now.
I'll be pragmatic. You know, we'll talk about that when we get there. But can we just get rid of the police, please?
And even with the police, like, I'm like, look, we don't have to get rid of the police. Let's just get rid of qualified immunity and police unions.
There you go. Solves a lot of problems right there.
Solves all of the problems right there. Yeah. So the fire commissioner, Laura Kavanaugh, who was never a fire. She was never a firefighter. Fun fact.
Actually typical, by the way. Like I ran for county sheriff and I have no law enforcement background. So
that's fair. Yeah, I know. I know it's typical, but she returned to the Christian Cultural Center in Brooklyn on Sunday to say she was very sorry that James was met with boos in Trump chants during the promotion, which she said that about all of the people that she commissions over. And she stated, we have decades of training and discipline that none of us want to see tarnished by the unprofessional behavior of a few. Which, as you can imagine, the people of New York, being the kind, laissez-faire, let-it-go people that they are, had some choice words. I would say this is a waste of Kavanaugh's time, but I don't know what else she does, a Queens firefighter said, adding, the commissioner made this political by inviting a politician to speak.
Yeah, it's true.
Which is absolutely true.
And that's a completely fair argument. That's completely fair. Like it's not like they didn't know that was a controversial person that they were putting up there that just got done with a lawsuit with Donald Trump, and they're putting this person in front of a lot of people that are predominantly right-leaning.
Yeah.
Like, this was intentional.
This was 100% intentional. Now, the FDNY Bureau of Investigation and Trials, the internal affairs of the FDNY, I guess, is now reviewing video footage from the ceremony to identify those who booed, but has not said what the potential punishment firefighters could face is.
They won't even do this for the riots from 2 years ago.
No.
Are you kidding me right now? They're reviewing the video footage to fire these firefighters and what?
Yep.
Dude, that's insane.
That is insane. That is absolutely freaking insane. The Uniformed Fire Officers Association sent out a message saying, however, should any members feel that they are subject to an investigation due to the nature of specific questions, they should immediately notify the UFOA and request representation. Any additional inquiries should not continue until a UFOA representative is present. And I'm pretty certain that I would go with the union. Like, I'm siding with the union. Another Brooklyn firefighter scoffed at the department's investigation into the heckler, citing that the FDNY probe, citing an earlier FDNY probe into leaked meeting with chiefs that made a lot of people in the ranks upset. But it was never solved. And he goes, it's ironic how, the Bureau of Investigation and Trials will do an investigation where hundreds of people attended and find out who yelled, but they couldn't find out who leaked a tape of a meeting where only 10 or so people attended. Which is true. That is insane. And as he closed it, that smells of politics, which is the most apt thing he could possibly say. Because all of this sounds... And of all of the groups in New York that you are trying to piss off, the firefighters aren't the ones to do it. Like, why would you do that to the firefighters? They are the most beloved. Them and sanitation are the most beloved departments of government in New York.
Yeah, right. Oh my God, dude. I just can't imagine like them intentionally setting this up the way they did. Then trying to go in and go through video and put it through their database to try to like fire these people in another witch hunt, because this is what they do.
Yep.
And then they go in and have to go through these tiny leaked tapes from like a 10-person meeting as well, just to they have to know everything at all times. It's wild. And it is politics. This is 100% is politics. Yeah.
No, this is 100% politics. They understand that it's politics. And it is.
But as they say, don't wrestle with a pig because you'll get dirty and the pig likes it. So
I actually like that saying. Said,
yeah.
I like that saying. when I was hearing this story and I was just like, they're going after the firefighters who booed, like, this makes the least amount of sense anything that I have heard. Well, actually, no, that's not true. Because nothing makes sense. Nothing makes sense anymore.
I'm trying to put pieces together every day.
Yeah,
I still am trying to get over the whole barbecue, dude. I saw wild to me.
Yeah. You know, we opened with somebody who sets people on fire and somebody who's trying to fire people who puts out fires. That is the show. Ben, tell them everywhere that they can see. Ben, first of all, I want to say I had a blast and I hope that we do this again because this was great.
Thanks, dude. I would love to come back on. I love going through all the current events and stuff, and you're a cool dude and your email. you know, if people want to find me, Twitter at the emo ANCAP, you can find me on Facebook, Ben Weir. I also have an emo caucus Facebook group. I've got an emo caucus Twitter page, and I'm starting to kick everything back up and get it in gear now that I'm getting healthy again. I also have a podcast. We stream twice a week at least, Wednesdays and Sundays from 8 to 9 p.m. Eastern time. And it's called Shut the Punk Up. You can literally find it on pretty much every platform that there is. You know, Rumble, YouTube, Twitter, Facebook, all the good stuff, and Twitch too, actually. So
beautiful. Beautiful. Well, yeah. Again, I hope that we do this again sometime. This has been great for everybody else. Next week, Tyler Morrison will be on. It will be a pre-recorded because of schedules and stuff. But Tyler Morrison and I will be here discussing stuff in Canada. And I'm certain he will be saying very offensive jokes. And he's going to be pushing his new special that I believe comes out. If it doesn't come out this Sunday, it comes out the next Sunday. So check him out. You can find him on Instagram, Tyler Morrison. You can find him on Twitter at Tyler Morrison. And pretty much if you just find Tyler Morrison comedian, you'll find him. So be sure to check him out before next week's episode. I will be back then. And then oddly enough, I'm taking a week off because two in a row is just enough for me. But it's also my birthday. So I'm going to be off that week and I'm going to be in Austin, Texas. So have a great week and we will see you here next week. And until then, remember where we're going, we don't need roads.